Greetings, brothers and sisters from around the world, and welcome back to the home, the haven, the stronghold, and the superfortress of intelligent black thought. This is the BlackChannel.net radio program. I am, of course, your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And we're maybe a short broadcast here tonight, it depends, but if I have time here, the telephone number is, of course, 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the blackest radio program in existence, the only one of its kind on planet Earth today. Join us. And join us you shall, because tonight I want to discuss something here. I've had a lot that I really needed to get to in the last few days and wasn't necessarily able to. But tonight there is something in particular that I did want to deal with and I did want to go over. So you'll have the opportunity to join us here for that tonight. There were a few articles that I come across here. And tonight I want to discuss with you here, maybe not necessarily discuss, but one of the things I want to go over with you here tonight is a grudge. I guess you could call tonight's broadcast the grudge, which is fine by me. Some people out there are getting a lesson. They're getting a crash course in exactly how power works, how group works, how these things work. And a couple of stories really illustrate this to a tremendous degree. I want to give you all tonight a tale of two grudges. And I want you to think about this after I explain it, because I'm pretty sure you're going to see some parallels, either not, if not directly from your own personal life, definitely directly what you've seen. Now, there was a story, for those of you who were not aware, there's a story. I talked about this a few weeks ago. You see, some black people have it in their heads that they have an honorary white card, hard way, that they don't. They're finding out the hard way that Coonan doesn't have a retirement plan. Doesn't even seem to have a long-term working relationship when we think about it. And the case of Lee Daniels, I mean, he didn't make it two seasons before his card got punched. Now, did he? Now, for those of you who are unaware, Lee Daniels, in an attempt to defend Terrence Howard against domestic violence stories, made the statement that, quote, Terrence ain't done nothing different than Marlon Brando or Sean Penn, and all of a sudden he's some effing demon. That's a sign of the time, of race, of where we are right now in America. Now, those were Daniel's exact words. A man who claims that he's not concerned about race, and he doesn't look at that. And yet, this schizophrenic, brain-damaged, mentally and emotionally unhinged virus slithers his way from under the toilet long enough to come out. And when his project is under fire, all of a sudden, it's about race. Now, when things were good, there was no such thing as racism. Soon as he takes one good body blow, I should say body shot in his case, all of a sudden, he wants to tell you about racism. Oh, really? All right. So he makes his comments trying to cover for Terrence Howard. Well, somebody was listening when he made those comments. Somebody was listening. that somebody was Sean Penn. And Sean Penn, after all of these decades, after numerous and countless television, radio, newspaper, magazine, and websites have said the same thing that Lee Daniels said. After all these decades, Sean Penn has filed a lawsuit against Lee Daniels saying that this is defamation, that he never hit Madonna. Now, you have to understand, I remember hearing the stories about that. Sean Penn was arrested. Let us be very, very clear. Sean Penn was arrested for hitting Madonna. And one report says he had tied her up and locked her up in the basement, physically and possibly sexually assaulting her. That has been stated for decades now. Now, she did not pursue the charges against him. But understand, this is not the police that say that he did this. Because remember, this was Madonna saying that. That's why the police didn't just show up out of nowhere. They showed up because Madonna called them. We have the details of the assault because Madonna gave the details. Now, the fact that she didn't follow up on it that does not negate the fact that she's the one who said it. Well, Sean Penn filed a lawsuit. I never hit that hoe. I mean, I never hit Madonna. Never did it. Now, of course, after all these decades, any lawyer is going to see the mountain of stories that have been done about this, calls to the police, and everything else substantiating it, and very easily say, okay, not a problem, frivolous lawsuit, we can knock this out. But wait. Because you see, black people may not understand that we are at war, and black people may keep trying to figure out how they can opt out of being black and go over into some third category. Because you don't want to be black and you can't be white, so we want that third category. We may not understand that we are members of a group, but everyone else around us does. And 3 days ago, the story was published here. I'm going to read to you from TMZ, although it's everywhere, The Guardian, The Daily News, page 6. But I'm just going to go to TMZ. Madonna says, Sean never hit me. Testifies in Lee Daniels' case. Madonna is jumping to her ex-husband Sean Penn's defense, declaring under oath that Lee Daniels got it wrong when he insinuated Sean was a woman beater. Penn's attorneys filed a declaration for Madonna in which she states, quote, Sean has never struck me, tied me up, or physically assaulted me. There had been reports in 1987 that he hit her with a baseball bat. And then in 1989, there was a story he'd been arrested for domestic assault. Madonna says all those reports, quote, completely false. She calls her ex a caring, compassionate individual who she's known for more than 30 years. Penn is suing Lee Daniels for defamation while discussing Terrence Howard's domestic violence case. Daniels said Howard did nothing different from Penn. Penn is suing for $10 million. Well, it didn't take long for white supremacy to close ranks. Now, did it? Oh, poor little Lee Daniels got his nigga wake up call and don't know what to do. I hope he's made a good grip off the empire because Sean's about to walk off with a bit of that. Twenty-five years ago. that Sean was doing all this stuff. And you have to understand, Sean was getting into a lot of trouble. His record of attacking people was legendary and still is. And he has never disputed it. Numerous magazines have put up numerous articles saying the exact same thing. He has never, never, ever disputed it until now. Madonna did these things 25 years ago, and she has never questioned it and never disputed it. But when it's a black man who says that I will step in and I will use this to defend what I'm doing, I will pit two white people against each other, he found out real damn fast that we may not practice group economics, group sociology, group phenomena. We might not practice that, but our opposition damn sure does. And after all these decades and all these reports, after all the people who said Sean Penn has beat this woman, tied this woman up, smacked this woman, raped this woman, every damn thing else, when Lee Daniels says it, Madonna jumps up and says, who hit me? Not Sean. He ain't never hit me. Well, why haven't you been? You were on Oprah. You were on every other television show. You've never disputed it before now. So are you lying today or were you lying then? I'm not going to put it past either one of them that they both said, let's go sue this nigga. And you take half and I take half and we're going to take them to the cleaners. But it's more than a little curious that she jumps up after all these years of never refuting this statement. And all of a sudden she's telling y'all that everything you've heard about Sean Penn all these decades is wrong. She's had decades to clear the record and to clear his name. She's had decades to say Sean Penn never hit me. He never beat me. And that arrest thing was erroneous, though she's never explained how. She's had literally decades to correct the record and never lifted a finger. And you don't hear the media demanding answers about it either. Because, you see, white supremacy is a group organism. And they are attacking this foreign body that has attempted to enter into their domain. You see, Sean can beat this heifer of black and blue, but he is a white man, and that is his domain. But don't you think you're going to come over here and you are going to exercise power over a white woman in the midst of white people. That's not going to happen. Might let white people walk in and do that, but they will not allow you to do that. Not among them, they won't. Halle Berry, for 2+ decades, about the same amount of time, she has allowed these lies to go on about Christopher Williams, David Justice, Eric Benet. She's gone on television to reinforce things that were outright out and out lies. She has never corrected the record. Never done that. You have had the national media, someone pointed out in the chat room, I was about to get to that. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a black man, Dr. Dre, whatever, they'll find any old wanks you done slept with and say, do you have something negative to say? White society will come and get you to sit up here and talk crap for days about other black folk. Dre's movie comes out, detonates big, straight out of Compton. And they had no problem finding a bunch of black females to run this man down. But in white society, you will not be a black person who walks in and gets white folk to talk about each other like that. The first thing they're going to do is take a look at you and automatically they know, okay, I see the game. I see the game. There is no grudge that I have against Sean Penn that is so serious that I'm going to let you walk in and do something like this. I can do that, but not you. You won't be doing any of that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to shut your black ass down now. And by the way, one more thing I wanted to point out here. In case you all did not know, Madonna's had a bunch of black men she slept with too, by the way. Oh, I'm sorry. There were some of you who were unaware of that. She has had a number of black men she's been with. And which I guess Lee Daniels took that the wrong way, gay as he is. I guess he took it the wrong way. Because you see, Lee was confused. Lee was under the assumption or the illusion that the fact that this woman would slither up in the bed next to a black man meant that, quote, she's on our side or something. There's some type of affinity or something. And she showed him in one damn afternoon, you don't know us like that. She is not confused. Lee is. Probably the brother she was sleeping with, they were. But she was not confused. She has never been confused. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody. Did she adopt some black babies from Africa? Didn't Madonna adopt some black babies from Africa? There was a bit of a legal dispute about that after the fact, too, by the way. But didn't she do that? Yeah, I think she did. Black men in her bed, black children in her house, and yet she is not confused. Perfectly straight. She's not confused. There is no grudge that is so large that they are going to allow you to come in and destroy their power, wealth, and influence. Remember Charlie Sheen. Now, you know full damn well that Denise Richards and those other women he was fooling with, they all knew he had AIDS. They knew it. But they were, I mean, you understand what he said, going back 5 years, so hell, that's practically all of his anger management, the TV show Anger Management, where he went after 2.5 men, and he may have had it while he was doing 2.5 men. We don't know. But understand, that kind of explains why Denise Richards was so eager to jump ship and not look back, huh? Kind of explains why she could do that so easily. She got her equity out of the game, and she was gone. But he's most likely had it the whole time. But she was not going to help the national media, and certainly not no black folk, come in here and destroy this man's power, wealth, and influence. Because that's her gravy train ticket. She most likely put out those recordings of him saying nigger to let him know, hey, you need to ease back with some of that clap trapping you doing about me, because I know where the bodies are buried. I suggest you back up off me. And you notice he didn't have a whole lot more to say about her after that, did he? After she put those recordings out, he talked a little more trash, but he didn't have anything else to say about her either. He was like, yeah, I better move on. She really will pull this little trigger over here. Yeah, I better keep going. He went on to Anger Management, and y'all have seen the videos of him sitting with her on the couch, and she's talking about, oh, we're just a wonderful, loving ex-couple and everything. We're perfectly fine. She was letting all of you know she knows what side her bread is buttered on. And she's not going to help you take away what this man has got. There is no grudge she's got that is so big that's going to allow her to let you walk in and take what she's got. Not going to do it. Meanwhile, in the NFL and the NBA, black men are surrounded by nothing but hood rats and hoes, helping them. They're broke broads, and they're helping these dudes to go back to being broke, too. This is what we got over here. This is what's going on over here. We let white people come in and divide and conquer us every single day. You notice they won't even let you get a foot in the door to do it. Not even a foot in the door. Eminem was talking trash about, what's his name, Kim Mathers, his ex-wife. Soon as black folks started crowding around him, all of a sudden he wants to make up with her. You are confused. They're not confused. You don't understand your role in this, but they're not confused about their role in it. Not at all. Now, let's take a look at a different story here. Because Madonna didn't just jump up one day and decide, I'm going to call Sean Penn and let's hammer this out. That didn't just happen out of nowhere. There's another story that has a flip side to this. And I want you to germinate on what you just heard there. I'm going to take a couple of phone calls here first, but germinate on that. And then I'm going to give you the flip side of this and show you how this doesn't work out where we're concerned. Let me get caller from 815. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 815 has been abducted. Let's get caller from 857. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 857, last try. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 857 has been abducted. We'll try one more here, since it seems that people are having issues. This is why I don't like taking phone calls and whatnot, because the meth heads usually start picking up the phones and try to amuse themselves. Caller from 347, you're on live. Okay. The mess people are out in force tonight, which is perfectly fine. I guess they're trying to see, is somebody actually there? Yes, we are actually here, as a matter of fact. And we're talking about you. Oddly enough, we're talking about you. There was a story today from Vibe, from Ayanna Robertson. Moesha co-stars Brandy and Countess Vaughn make amends after nearly 20 years. Now, let me be very careful. Let me be very clear about what I'm about to say here next. Black women are the poorest women on the face of the planet. They are the poorest women on the planet. They cannot afford to be at each other's throats the way that they are. They cannot afford that. And yet, the people who give black women the hardest time and hold the hardest grudge are other black women. Black women are completely confused. Black people are, but in particular, black women are confused. Black women are terribly confused. When you put emotional satisfaction ahead of getting out of poverty, you've got problems. You've got real issues. I want to read the story here to you now. Former Moesha co-stars Brandy and Countess Vaughn have made amends after nearly two decades. In April 1998 issue of Vibe magazine, Brandy revealed in her cover story that she and Vaughn were not as close as their fictional characters Moesha and Kim would have one believe. The singer-actress revealed that Vaughn spewed some heated words her way. Quote, I think she's very funny, very talented, Brandy said. I just feel like she wants to be in the position I'm in. People tell her, you're the reason why the show's successful. And she's told me that before. And she's called me a B to my face, she said. I'm the reason why the show is so successful, B in front of a lot of people. And I looked at her like, wow, I couldn't say nothing about her because I wasn't about to. She knows. She wakes up and looks at herself in the mirror and gets disgusted. I don't. On Saturday, December 19th, however, Vaughn sang a new tune. In an open letter to Brandy on Instagram, because, you know, black folk, if we can't get attention for it, we don't see it as worthwhile. That's me interjecting that. In an open letter to Brandy on Instagram, the actress Hollywood diva star, offered an apology for the negativity that transpired between them. Quote, at the end of the day, I had to learn in find myself. What in the world? At the end of the day, I had to learn in find myself. Why not be friends when we're both talented? Why call you names when you're just an amazing person, Vaughn wrote. I'm proud of you for being you and working to rise to the best you inside of you. You are an amazing being with amazing God-given capacity. Brandy caught wind of the post and accepted Vaughn's apology, expressing a desire to start anew. Quote, I would love to start a new friendship with you with new heads on both our shoulders. It will be great to work together again. Without you, Moesha would not have lasted as long as it did. Now, I want to read Countess Vaughn's post here because it's a post showing a picture of Brandy apparently taking a selfie of herself. So this is from Vaughn's Instagram. It says, Forever Brandy, I guess that's Forever Brandy on Instagram. I guess that's her tag. I'm proud of you for placing one foot in front of the other, for waking up every morning and simply giving it your best shot, for placing a premium on personal growth too. We've been through THREWRARE, ups and downs, highs and lows. But at the end of the day, I had to learn in find myself. Why not be friends when we're both talented? Why call you names when you're just an amazing person? I'm proud of you for being you and working to rise best with you. You are an amazing being with amazing God-given capacity. I believe who you are and who you are working to be under the hood of our lives. I believe in your ability to stand and courageously be the person you were meant to be. I'm not perfect, nowhere near it. I care about your life and your happiness. I wouldn't do what I did if I didn't. I care about you as a person. We're spiritual siblings, you and I. I knew this to be true, and it means a lot to me. I apologize for anything negative, with a capital N, I've ever done or said to you. Sorry this had to be on social media. I just want the world to see what I've grown out, that I've grown out of my comfort zone. Hopefully one day I can tell you in person or on the phone to let you know I mean everything I've wrote. I didn't do this for applause because we all know that some people don't believe celebrities to be human. But this came from a very human place. No matter how or if she respond, know that the universe will continue to bring me growth and happiness because that is what I'm putting out there. Congratulations on everything you've accomplished. Love you, beautiful. Happy holidays from Countess. With a bunch of kissy emoticons. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm very glad to see that things have turned around between the two of them. Countess Vaughn, I find to be a very disingenuous person. Apparently, she's trying to get her name out there in as many ways as possible. Everything from taking topless pictures to just whatever. So I just see this as her latest attempt at attention whoring and keeping herself relevant. She hasn't been relevant in 2 decades, but she's struggling for relevance now. Okay, I guess she has a right to do that to a certain degree. But here's my real question. My real question here is, why is it you couldn't have done this back when it would have made a difference? Black people really have a horrendous habit of doing stupid things and not lifting a finger to rectify those stupid things until it's too late and it no longer makes a difference. We do things for attention, not for power. These are two young women who really couldn't have afforded to hold a grudge like that, but that's what we do. And it took 20 years. Now, I'm not placing blame, and I'm not saying that somebody wasn't insufferable or whatever the case may be. I am saying take a look at the facts on the ground. And let's compare that, if we will. You got Madonna, who you could not get to say a cross word about Sean Penn. And you've got Countess Vaughn and Brandy and Halle Berry, and the list goes on. Want to talk about In Vogue, Brownstone, Destiny's Child, the list goes on and on. And take a look at the group of people who have power, wealth, and influence to burn, and then take a look at the group of people who don't. There is a point there. There is a message there. There's something for you to learn there, if you are actually interested in learning it. There's something to be learned. And that's the point that I'm trying to make to you here tonight, is that as a people, we are confused. We are confused to the point that a people who cannot afford to hold grudges, holding grudges over the dumbest of things. Meanwhile, our enemies, our opponents, our competitors have made it very clear that they are focused like a laser beam. And they're not going to allow us even the slightest opportunity to divide them on any level. But this goes back to a complete and total lack of purpose. We don't have purpose as a people. You see, when you send out a football team, the football team understands that their purpose is not personal aggrandizement. Your purpose is to get that ball to the end zone by any and all means possible. That's your purpose. That's your job. That's your mission. There's a saying in football, and all the men listening tonight will be very familiar with this saying. The women, you will not be quite as familiar with it, but the men will be familiar with this saying I'm about to give you all here tonight. There's a saying in football for dealing with difficulties. What happens on the field stays on the field. And that is something that every football coach teaches his players, that the goal is to teach them to be tenacious. The goal is to teach them to be aggressive. The goal is to teach them to be singularly focused on winning and doing their best. But part of doing your best means that you also expect the best from everyone else who's around you on the team. You expect everyone to pull their weight. It's not optional. And sometimes there will be issues, there will be differences, there will be problems among teammates in their efforts to accomplish their goals. There may be conflicts that occur. And while it is always most preferable that they, A, either not occur at all, or B, they occur in a place where people are not questioning your cohesion as a working unit that is in public, if you do have issues, these things are supposed to be expressed and handled in private. At least that is what you expect. Sometimes, however, in difficult situations, these things may not necessarily be able to be contained to a private environment. Some things may happen that should not happen in public. But what they teach you is what happens on the field stays on the field. Actions that are committed in the pursuit of winning have amnesty when they happen on the gridiron. They have amnesty when they happen on the field. But you are taught that you are to differentiate between what happens on the field and what happens off of it. You are not to bring that here. That everything that happens there is what happens there. It does not happen over here. And we know that you have lost your discipline. As a athlete, as a professional, you have lost your discipline when you are unable to differentiate between what happens on the field and what happens off of it. One of the biggest issues that we have as black people is that we don't understand, like if you get black men and black women working together, it's very hard to get black people to work together if there's not some kind of sexual content or sexual context involved. If he can't sleep with all the females, he's not really trying to do his job as a manager. And if she sees a guy that she likes, she can't comport herself as an employee. Or if they did have a relationship, they cannot leave that at the front door when they get to their jobs. If they had a breakup with each other, it's going to be World War V at that office until one of you is fired. One of you or both of you are gone. It's going to be World War V. Now, your job is for the purposes of making money. And what happens on the field stays on the field. You are supposed to understand the difference between the two. And that is not what occurs. We are the only people on the planet who will sacrifice socioeconomic progress for ego. We will sit up here and lose all our money, lose our house, lose our profession, lose our status, lose a car, everything we got. And talk about, I showed them, you ain't gonna talk to me any old kind of way. Dumb bunny broad, you lost your house.
I can get another house. I told them.
And she'll be poor for the next damn 40 years trying to get that back. On the TV show Sex in the City, I want to say, was it Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker? Was it the two of them? I want to say it was the two of them. I'm not 100% certain, and if I'm wrong, I really don't care. I do know it was Sex in the City. It was two of the women. I think it was Kim Cattrall and another one. I want to say Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm not 100% certain, but I want to say it was her. And these two women got in the loggerheads all the time, but they never let that prevent them from showing up, doing their job, even where they make a movie or something. They made a couple of movies. They did not allow that to get in the way of their socioeconomic progress. They didn't let that happen. As black folk, the landscape is literally littered as far back as the eye can see with where we had golden opportunities, and because we refused over a grudge, we lost money over a grudge, something that other people simply would not allow to happen. We've lost money over it. We've lost wealth over it. We've lost power and prestige over it. Something that other people simply wouldn't let happen. That's a lack of purpose. When you are letting things happen to your money behind ego, that's a lack of purpose. You have lost track of your purpose as a person. As a person, you've lost it. The reason that we don't have any major black mega conglomerates today is because a mega conglomerate has to be created by a group of people working together. That is why they are called corporations. People have to have a oneness of purpose. And if there are difficulties, you are expected to resolve those for the good of the corporation. You're expected to put the corporation's interests ahead of your personal ego and your feelings. And that routinely does not happen among black people. That routinely doesn't occur. And we are up against competitors who, as I just explained to you with Sean Penn and Madonna, they have their group cohesion honed to a killing sharp razor edge. It is honed to killing perfection. This woman has literally walked out in front of the rest of the world and lied. Outright lied for a man she supposedly ain't had nothing to do with for 25 years. Walked out and lied. And I want you all to understand there's a point behind that. There's a point behind that. What does Sean Penn have to give this woman? Money, power, influence, recognition, status? Please, she gave all that to him. What does he have to give her? He's not giving her anything. This is at root base what they have in common. They are members of the oppressor class. They are members of the dominant society. And they are not going to have people that they have dominated come along and take that from them. That's the difference. That's the difference. This woman has to look in the mirror and ask herself, am I really going to let this Negro sit up here and use me to do this to another member of the oppressor class? Am I really going to sit back and let him do this? There's a lesson to be learned there. There's a powerful lesson to be learned. I'm going to see if we can take one more phone call here tonight. Everybody who's doing their mollies, please get off the line. Caller from 209, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay. Well, definitely, well, we got the CIA playing tonight, which is perfectly fine. Don't mind letting them know, hey, we're here. We were talking about you last week. I'll probably be talking about you some more this week. So definitely do listen in, Agent Brandt or whatever your names are over there. You're thinking about us? Oh, good, because we've been thinking about you. And to the members of the oppressor class who are saying, hey, are you talking about us? Yes, and glad to see you're thinking about us because we've been thinking about you. I hope you all have learned something here about the futility of that kind of behavior. Because you take this, you don't understand what it means. You see, when white people have a dispute, they don't handle it anywhere nearly like us. We make it into entertainment. We make it into a distraction. We make it into a diversion. We do all this useless crap. White people do not fight with each other over ego. Oh, yeah, I know you were told that. White folk do not fight with each other over ego. White people fight for only one thing, power. That's it. And once it is, once that has been resolved, one way or the other, is back to business as usual. But they don't fight for ego. They don't fight for Facebook likes and YouTube hits. They don't fight over that. They don't fight over popularity. That's why white folk have always wanted to be producers and directors, not actors. Actors get recognition. Actors get seen. Directors and producers control the power. They control who gets seen. Black folk fighting to be seen. White folk fighting to control who gets seen. You're at cross purposes. You don't understand the interests. You don't understand it. And so we walk out into these situations here where all they got to do is stick a microphone in a black person's face, and it's like a wind-up doll. Just watch him run. Watch him run his mouth. Watch him talk forever. Just let him ride. Did Michelle A. think that she was raising her stock and raising her value by playing into those white folks' hands, attacking Andre Young, a.k.a. Dr. Dre? Did she raise her value by doing that? Did she raise her prestige? Did she raise her status? Did that get her anywhere by doing that? Did that help her image? Did Michelle A. help her image with anybody by going off and doing that? Tell me, what did she gain? What did she gain by doing that? Who did she help? Herself? Did she even help herself in that regard? What did she gain? Fighting for power or was she fighting for ego? That's my question. Was she fighting for power, some tangible benefit, or was she fighting for some intangible emotional crap that means something to her and her alone, and only for a minute? Black folk have a terrible habit that when white people shove a microphone in our faces, we will say anything, anything that we think they want to hear, whatever it is that will keep that microphone in our face for another 10 seconds. We'll say whatever it is we think they want to hear. But you notice when we go talk to white folks, they don't want to say nothing to us. You can't get your white politicians to talk to you. Your white celebrities, they won't talk to you. TMZ will shove microphones in your face all day, but you're not going to see Tom Cruise talking to Bossup. You're not going to see Ashton Kutcher talking to Sandra Rose. You're not going to see any of them talking to you. They are not going to air their dirty laundry and put out another white person and set them out in front of you. They're not going to do that. Or you can go talk to them. You can go ask them, but they're not going to say nothing to you. They're not going to say anything. Black people don't even need prodding. We just need it to be a white face and a microphone and watch us run. We'll tear down and destroy everything we got. The only place I've seen recently that even had some modicum of message discipline was Bill Cosby and the folk from The Cosby Show. At least they have shown that they've got some semblance of message discipline where that's concerned. It won't be enough to help him, but at least they've got some semblance of it. Black folk, you get some NFL player's ex-wife and she'll sit there and talk for days. Some basketball player's baby mama, she'll sit there and talk for weeks. Won't get them any more money, won't get them anything, just some attention. That is a formula for being broke, staying broke, and remaining powerless. That's a formula for it. That's why it happens like that. Because if I can get you to turn against another member of your group for something as pitiful and pathetic as attention, that shows how weak you really are. You see, Madonna didn't get stupid. Notice something else here I want to point out, by the way. You don't see any of your feminists, black feminists or anything else, saying that Madonna is a victim. Did you hear that? Did you notice that? Where are your white feminists to say that Madonna is a victim of Sean Penn's abuse? Where are they? Because you see, when they shoved a microphone in front of Rihanna's nutty, slutty ass, they got her to sit up here and talk crap about Chris Brown for weeks. But you ain't seen no videos of Madonna going on like that about Sean Penn. Mel Gibson's wife, as a matter of fact, did she do that? Did she go out there and grab every microphone she could find to go talk crap about Mel Gibson? Did she do that? He said, "I hope you get raped by a pack of niggers." But did you ever see her give a video, an interview where she said, "Oh, yeah, he used to talk about how much he hated niggers all the time"? Did you hear her say that? When he talked about black people, there was just something cold and evil in his eyes. Did you ever hear her say that? That when Mel Gibson talked about black people, he talked about them like animals. If you looked in his eyes, there's like no soul. That's what Rihanna said about Chris Brown. That when you looked in his eyes, it was like he had no soul. That was right out of the Ku Klux Klan playbook. But when you put a microphone in their faces, they will not help you do the same thing that you jump up and do so readily. Nobody in white society is demanding answers of Madonna for why she allowed these rumors about Sean Penn to circulate for 2.5 decades. There are no white feminists. Oprah Winfrey ain't beating down no doors. Nobody is demanding an accounting of Madonna for allowing these rumors. If it's not true, nobody's asking for an accounting of her in white society of why she allowed these supposedly false rumors to circulate about this man for 2.5 decades. If they were truly false, why is she allowed them to keep running for so long? And you're not going to have any white women asking any serious questions of her either. And you're not going to have any white women at these news outlets calling her a victim and talking about domestic violence. They're not going to do that. It's been 3 days and ain't nobody, Diane Sawyer, Katie Couric, none of them are demanding that Madonna give an accounting of herself and explain the details of what happened. None of them are saying that she's a victim. None of them are saying that she's wrong. None of them are saying we need to find out what happened. None of them are doing an in-depth investigation into who's lying about what. Go ahead and find them. Where's Gloria Allred? She's not digging for, quote, the truth. Nobody's making those assertions, and they're not making those assertions because they are all on the same page, and you don't understand how the game is played, but they do. They understand that if they allow you to tear down one of them, that's not opening up anything for them. That's opening up something for you. You see, Terrence Howard, they've already got your expiration date, Negro. You didn't know it, but they did. And they're already saying that you've gotten way farther than we thought you were going to get. And so now we are putting it into place that we get to knock off the two of you with one stone. Lee Daniels on one side, Terrence Howard on the other. You see, Sean Penn can commit domestic violence and walk on. Russell Crowe can commit domestic violence and walk on. The rest of them can commit domestic violence and walk on, but not your black ass. And you will not be allowed to do that, and we are not going to let you negotiate your way out of this either, which is what Lee Daniels trying to do. He was trying to negotiate and maneuver Terrence Howard out of this to protect his project empire. He was trying to maneuver Terrence out of this. And they showed up quick to say, nigga, no. This is for us. This is what we use for our people. Our people have diplomatic immunity, not yours. Our people get this. You don't get nothing. This is something that is reserved for us. This is a privilege that is reserved for us. As white people, not going to walk in here and take what is a privilege for us and utilize it for yourself. That's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. You found out real quick that there's a colored door and a white one. You tried to walk through the wrong one and got that door slammed in your face. And it's going to happen for any of the rest of you who forget what you are. And when you consider it in that light, when you look at it from that perspective, I hope it puts this ridiculous penchant that we have as black people for holding grudges over emotional stuff. You don't hold a grudge over something emotional. Somebody takes money out your pockets, you hold a grudge over that. But all this other stuff, we don't have. If white people do not have the luxury of doing that, if the dominant society does not see itself as having the luxury of doing that, then how in the honky-tonk hell do you think you have that luxury and you're at the bottom of the barrel? A lot of you are getting your wake-up calls. You thought you had graduated from being black to being something else. Now you're finding out the hard way that, nah, you're still black. You're still black. Bill Cosby got his wake-up call, and now Lee Daniels is getting his. Lee didn't even make it 10 years down the road. He got Empire. He didn't even make it. He barely made it past season one. And they're already cashing in his chips. Ain't that a damn shame? And by the way, when Empire is over, look for all of the whites who were involved with Empire. Those will be the ones who will go on to something else. The train stops here for Lee. The whites will go on to something else. Lee ain't going on to nothing else. It stops here for him. Stops right here. Kinda wish you had considered yourself to be black before now, eh, Lee? Because at the first sign of trouble, you wanted to be black again. Kinda makes you wish you had a little consistency there, eh? Yeah. Kinda makes you wish you'd had some consistency. The rest of you should take this as a well-earned lesson. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the Black Channel Radio Program. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.